أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In our previous sessions, I talked about different theories of metaethics. I touched a number of schools that were important in moral philosophy. The first school I dealt with was cultural relativism. According to this school, X is good when it is approved by the society. In the same, X can be bad when it is disapproved by the society. The main axis is the society. We should always keep looking at the society. What does the society tell us to do? We should always keep in mind the direction presented by the society in which we live. Later on, we touched the school of subjectivism. Subjectivism was also a very popular school of thought in moral philosophy. According to subjectivism, as well as according to emotivism, what was important was your feeling. You should always pay attention to your feeling. By paying attention to your feeling, by giving importance to your feelings and emotions, you can choose your moral principles. You can pick out your moral principles. This was also a popular school of thought, but we also criticized this school. The next school of thought that I touched was intuitionism. According to intuitionism, what is important is your moral intuitions. Every one of us, every society has its own or his own moral intuition. If we want to reach moral principles, according to this school of thought, we must pay attention to our moral intuitions. Moral judgments, moral statements must end to moral intuitions. They must either be among moral intuitions or be reducible to moral intuitions. If they are neither among the moral intuitions nor are they reducible to moral intuitions, then they must be put aside. They must be neglected. So this was the theory presented by intuitionism. Later on, we attached some other schools of thought, like ideal observer theory, as well as prescriptivism. These schools of thought were concerned about moral principles. They were also very giving importance to moral principles. In the standard or the criterion they presented was that according to the ideal observer, we must be impartial, we must be informed in order to reach moral principles. The more you are impartial and the more you are informed, the better you can reach moral principles. But if you suffer from bias, if you suffer from things like prejudice, if you are not fully informed, then you cannot reach moral principles. So according to this school of thought, what is important is that is impartiality, and what is important is information. We also criticized this school of thought. But the last school we touched and we dealt with was prescriptivism. Prescriptivism was also a popular school of thought. According to prescriptivism, what is important is consistency. We must try to reach consistency. It is consistency that matters, and it is consistency that speaks aloud. We must try to rotate around the axis of consistency. I explained for you in detail that consistency is based on two important laws. The first law tells us to make similar evaluation for similar cases. Don't make different evaluation for similar cases. Instead, try to make similar judgments, try to make similar evaluation for similar cases. By doing so, you can improve your moral standards, you can improve your level. Second, keep your moral beliefs in harmony with your practices. Don't create a gap between your beliefs and your practices. If there is a gap between the two, try to bridge it. Try to fill it in. Otherwise, your words, your statements, your declarations will not be accepted. If you want your words to be accepted, if you want your declarations to be accepted, you must try to harmonize your words with your actions. And there will be, and there should be a harmony between your actions on the one hand and your words on the other. So these were the principles of consistency. And consistency is based on these two principles. If you observe these two principles, you will be able to issue declarations that are in accordance with moral standards. And tonight I'm going to touch the Islamic theory of metaethics. After hearing all these theories, after evaluating all these theories, after giving treatment to all these theories, the question may arise as to what is the Islamic point of view in regard with metaethics. Does Islam accept the metaethics produced by these schools of thought? Or Islam has got its own theory of metaethics? What is the metaethical theory of Islam? How does Islam approach ethics? How does Islam approach metaethics? This is a very boiling question. This is a very important question. Tonight, in this session, we are going to treat this question. We are going to deal with this question. As I mentioned before, Islam does not totally reject these schools of thought, nor does it totally accept these schools of thought. Islam does not squarely deny these schools of thought, nor does it squarely accept with their points of view and agree with their theories. Islam has got its own methodology. If we want to reach and to understand the theory presented by Islam, we must get familiar with the methodology of Islamic thinking. We must get in line with the methodology presented by Islam. What is the Islamic methodology? According to Islamic methodology, we are required to accept the best. We are required to listen to all kinds of words. We are supposed to pay attention to all kinds of theories, whether they are true or false. After listening to these theories, after paying attention to all these theories, then the turn comes to the selection. We must select the theory that is the best of all the theories. We must approve of a theory that stands at the top, and that is the best one. This is the methodology of Islam. Listen to all theories and choose the best from among them. There is a verse that confirms this theory. The Holy Quran very loudly says, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهُ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Those who listen to words, those who listen to different sorts of theories, and then choose the best from among them, they are the ones who are guided by God, by Allah, and they are the people of intelligence. Look, God gives mark, high mark, to those who first of all listen to different theories without any discrimination, without any fear or favor. After listening to all types of theories, he begins to choose one theory from among the many theories. In the criteria suggested by Islam is that you should give importance to that theory that is the best. That is the best. The best theory is, or the most excellent theory is the theory one must choose. Your intuitions might tell you which theory is the best theory. Your common sense might tell you which theory is the best theory. The religious guidance might tell you which theory is the best theory. Your culture might tell you which theory is the best theory. But the thing is that always pay attention to the best theory, always give importance to the best theory. This is the methodology suggested by Islam. But now let us see, based on this methodology, where should we go? And what does Islam tell about metaethics? What does Islam say about metaethics? Does Islam have its own theory of metaethics? Or does Islam accept one of the theories that were dealt with previously? According to the study I made, and according to the research I made, Islam does not favor any one of these theories specifically. The theory presented by Islam, the theory supported by Islam, is a composition of different elements found in these schools of thought. Actually, Islamic theory of metaethics is a combination of the views presented by the previous schools of thought. In other words, Islam has studied, or Islam pays attention to the theories presented by all these schools of thought. After paying attention and after studying these theories, Islam chooses the positive elements found in these schools of thought and discards the negative elements that are there in these schools of thought. Based on this methodology, we can say that Islam is not prescriptivism. We cannot equate Islam with prescriptivism. Anyone who says that Islam says the same as prescriptivism, he is wrong. Anyone who says that Islam is totally different from prescriptivism, again, he is wrong. Islam neither totally rejects prescriptivism, nor does it totally agree with prescriptivism. Islam looks at the words uttered by prescriptivism. Islam analyzes and studies the theory presented by prescriptivism. After making a full analysis, it produces its judgment. According to prescriptivism, what is important is consistency. As far as Islam is concerned, Islam agrees with consistency. But Islam does not subscribe to prescriptivism. Islam differentiates between consistency on the one hand and prescriptivism on the other. Islam says yes to consistency and no to prescriptivism. Islam says that consistency is very important. Yes, it is important. In our day-to-day life, consistency is very much important. And as I told you before, there are many points in Islam that tell us that consistency is important. For example, Islam emphasizes on practice. And there is also a proverb that says, practice makes men perfect. Islam also emphasizes on practice. Islam also gives importance to practice. Islam tells you to pay attention to practice. Do not ignore practice. This can tell us that what is important from the viewpoint of Islam is consistency. When Islam tells us that practice is important, it directly or indirectly tells us that there should be a harmony between your words and your practices. You must not preach what you do not practice. You must not propagate what you do not practically accept. Propagate what you accept. Preach what you agree with. And disseminate what are accepted by you. There should not be a gap between your beliefs and your practices from the Islamic point of view. If there is a gap, then Islam will disagree with you. Islam will label you as hypocrite. Who is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is a person whose words are not in harmony with his practices. He is a believer. He wears the garment a believer wears. He speaks the words a believer speaks. He goes to the places where a believer goes. This is his outward appearance. But if you go to the heart of his heart, if you go to his mind, you will find out that he does not believe in any one of the items he does. He does the things for the sake of the people. He does the things for the sake of the public. He does the things for the sake of this or that person. But as a matter of fact, he does not believe in any one of the things he does. So he is a hypocrite, and he is rejected from the viewpoint of Islam. A person, a believing person, a healthy person, is a person whose actions are in harmony with his words, and there is no gap between his words and his action. This is the person, and this is the person whom Islam likes. This is Islamic model. Secondly, Islam emphasizes on honesty. Islam emphasizes on truthfulness. This is also a very important point. It tells us very clearly that Islam is against hypocrisy. Islam is in favor of consistency. What does an honest person do? What does a truthful person do? A truthful person is a person whose words are in harmony with his actions. Islam emphasizes on the word truthfulness. And there were verses I recited for you in our previous session. وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ The truthful man and the truthful woman. They are the people who are favored by God. God has promised great favor, forgiveness, and great reward for such kind of people. If you are a truthful person, whether a male or a female, you will be rewarded by God. And your reward will be great. Your reward will be considerable. Thirdly, Islam emphasizes on the observation of justice. The principle of justice is, from the Islamic point of view, very important. Every Muslim is supposed to be just in his dealing with his family, in his dealing with the society, in his dealing with the government. No one is required to be unjust. No one is required to be unjust. Islam tells you not to be unjust even towards your enemies. Be always just. Even towards your enemies. Those who are your enemies, they may deserve the harshest behavior. But Islam tells you, whenever you want to deal with your enemies, whenever you want to deal with those whom you do not like, be just in your dealing with them. Observe justice. Never get out of the line of justice. Justice requires you to be impartial. Justice requires you to be observing the principle of consistency. You must like the things for your enemies which you like for yourselves. The thing which you like for yourself must be the standard for your dealing with your enemies. You must not say that, okay, I like these things for myself, but as far as my enemy is concerned, I should apply different standards while dealing with my enemies. No, the standards should be the same. There should not be double standards. The standards should be the same. The standards which you apply while dealing with your near and dear must be the same as the standards which you apply while dealing with your enemies. So you said this is very important. It requires you to be logically consistent. It requires you to be truthful. It requires you to be honest. So Islam gives importance to consistency, but at the same time, Islam does not describe to prescriptivism. Similarly, Islam does not agree with cultural relativism. But Islam does not totally reject it. Islam neither totally accepts this school of thought, nor does it totally reject this school of thought. Islam studies instead this school of thought to find out the positive elements in this school of thought. According to Islamic thinking, society is important, but society is not everything. Environment is important, but environment is not everything. According to relativism, society is everything. Environment is everything. It is the society that tells you what to do and what not to do. But according to Islam, it is the partial cause of the things. And it is not the perfect cause of everything. Islam pays attention to society. And Islam is very much concerned about the society in which you live. And that is why Islam tells you to enjoin the truth and to prevent falsehood. Because if truth prevails in a society, it will affect you. And if falsehood prevails in a society, again it will affect you. In Islam, recognizes the effect the society leaves on you. And that is why Islam advises you, Islam tells you to reform your society, to fight against corruption that exists in your society. Because if your society is healthy, if your society is good, you will also be good. If your society is bad, if your society is corrupt, then you will also be affected. So Islam gives importance to the society, but Islam does not say that society is everything and you do not have any sort of freedom in the face of society and your fate is determined by the society. No, Islam does not say these things about society, but Islam gives partial importance to society. Similarly, Islam does not subscribe to intuitionism, but Islam accepts the positive elements that are there in intuitionism. Islam agrees that there are elements in morality that can be understood by intuition, but everything cannot be understood by intuition. For example, the goodness of justice is something that can be understood through intuition. Everybody, every person, every society understand that justice is good and injustice is bad. So you can say it is a moral intuition. Similarly, every society agrees that hatred is bad. Instead, what is opposed to hatred is good. This is also something universal. Everybody, every community, and every society understand that hatred is bad. Love, peace, and the likes are good. So, but all moral issues are not of the same category. You cannot say that every moral statement is like the goodness of justice. Every moral statement is as obvious as the goodness of justice. No. There are moral statements that are very clear and that are very obvious, like the goodness of justice. But there are moral statements and moral judgments that are not that much obvious. And therefore, we need prophets. We need imams. We need revelation in order to tell us what to do in such areas and what not to do in such areas. So we must be always paying attention to revelation, and we must not forget about the importance of revelation. Islam also does not subscribe to the divine common theory. Islam says it is a good theory. There are positive points in this theory, but it does not reflect the whole reality. There are flaws with this theory, as well as there are merits. We should try to see the merits and demerits of this theory. There are things in morality that are determined by our own intellect. If we apply our intellect, if we put into practice our intellect, we will understand these things. We will understand things such as the goodness of justice and the badness of injustice. But there are things which we do not understand through our intellect, no matter how much attempt we make, how much endeavor we make. We will not reach anywhere. We will reach no conclusion. In such places, we are in need of revelation. It is the divine common theory that tells us what to do and not to do. In other words, there are different areas in morality. In some areas, we are not in need of divine common theory. Our intellects tell us what to do and what not to do. But there are areas, there are issues in morality which are not that much clear. We are in need of revelation. And revelation must come to our help. Otherwise, we will not be able to do anything. We can also say that Islam does not subscribe to schools of thought such as subjectivism or emotivism. But despite this, Islam recognizes the positive elements that are existing in these schools of thought. Islam tells you to manage your emotions. Islam does not tell you to eradicate your emotions or to fight with your emotions or to resist your emotions. Islam tells you to manage your emotions. Islam tells you to make a planning for your emotions. Try to guide your emotions to the right place. Try to be the guide of your emotions and try not to be guided by your emotions. There is a difference. Some people are guided by their emotions. And there are people who guide their emotions. Be from among the people who guide their emotions. And do not be among the people who are guided by their emotions. If you guide your emotions, if you make planning for your emotions, then of course you will be able to reach a good conclusion. You will be a brave person. Bravery is an emotion. Islam agrees with this emotion. And Islam tells you to reach a moderate conclusion in this connection. Islam tells you to get married. By getting married, you are satisfying your desires. So you are not supposed to suppress your desires, your emotion, your sexual emotions. Islam tells you to rightly manage your emotions. By getting married, you can rightly manage your emotions. So according to Islamic thinking, we are supposed to manage our emotions. And we are not supposed to fight our emotions. We are not supposed to resist our emotions. There are schools of thought who tell you every now and then to eradicate your emotions, to fight you with your emotions. But Islam is not among these schools of thought. Islam is a very moderate religion. It tells you that try to flourish your emotions. Try to improve your emotions by rightly managing them. So these are some of the schools which I touched. And lastly, I should say that Islam also does not totally reject idol observer, nor does it totally accept idol observer. Islam says that, yes, if you reach the stage of the infallible imams, if you reach the stage of the prophets, then you can produce judgments that are worthwhile, that are important, and that are acceptable. But as long as you have not reached this stage, then do not produce judgments, rather try to follow the judgments produced by others. So tonight I touched the Islamic theory of meta-ethics. To conclude, I should say that Islamic theory of meta-ethics is a composition of different theories, and different elements are there. An Islamic theory is a mixture of different theories. If we want to have a full grasp of Islamic theory, we must be familiar with different theories, and the understanding of different theories will help us to understand the Islamic theory of meta-ethics. Thank you very much.